Good morning, Rick. It's Bill Harwood at the Kennedy Space Center. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing great.
Well, I appreciate you taking a few moments. I'm going to jump right in. We've only got a few minutes. Tell me a little bit about your anticipation of riding on Soyuz, how the training's gone with that, and what you're looking forward to.
Well, as you know, Bill, I've been on the space shuttle three times, and I've been training for Soyuz now for 2.5 years, and I'm looking forward to riding on a different vehicle. It would be great to be able to compare the space shuttle ride to the Soyuz ride. It was really enjoyable going through the training with the Russians, and I'm looking forward to it.
Tell me a little bit about your commander. It's always fun, I guess, to fly with a veteran. He's got an awful lot of experience. What are your impressions?
Yeah, we have a very experienced crew. My commander is Mikhail Turin, and, of course, I'm also flying with Koichi Wakata. So between us, we have 8 or 9 space flights, so we have a very experienced crew. My commander is great. He's very easygoing. He's great to work with. He and I work well together. We've been training together for more than a year, year and a half, and we've really created, I think, a good team with us and Koichi.
Is there anything about riding uphill on a Soyuz that you're especially looking forward to? I mean, it is such a different vehicle from the shuttle. I'm always interested in the difference in that experience.
Oh, yeah, it's quite a different vehicle. And that's really the main reason why I'm looking forward to it so much, is because it's such a different vehicle. And also, you know, I was a flight engineer on the space shuttle, but I didn't have my own set of controls. Here in the Soyuz, I'm also the flight engineer, but I'm actually going to be helping control the vehicle along with the commander. So I'm looking forward to having that front row seat, if you will, and actually helping operate the vehicle.
And how tough is that, Rick? You know, I'm always impressed by doctors who, you know, work in a second language. I've always thought something as technical as flight engineer on a Soyuz would be such a challenge for somebody that's not a native Russian speaker.
Yes, it's very, very challenging. The language is the toughest part. Being an engineer, I have the skills, if you will, to learn how to fly a vehicle and how to operate the vehicle, but the language skill was very challenging for me. And I always say it's not as easy as it sounds to fly a spacecraft while speaking a foreign language. So, but again, a big challenge, which made it very interesting for me.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Are you going to have any family members at launch?
Yes, I'm going to have my wife will be there and a couple of friends.
What does the family think about you riding on a Soyuz? Do they perceive the risk any differently compared to when you were flying the shuttle?
They haven't said anything that it's different, but you know, I think they believe what I believe, which is the Soyuz is a very reliable vehicle. Russians have been flying the Soyuz since the late 60s. It's been very successful. I feel very confident in that we'll have a safe and successful mission, and I believe that they think the same.
Rick, you know, one of the things interesting about this flight, or they're all interesting, but to make this a little bit different, is right off the bat, you guys are going to have 9 people on board station at the same time. That's going to be, of course, when you were there with the shuttle, you know, you had a lot of people on board too, but this is kind of unique for the ops you guys are into today.
Yeah, the uniqueness is that we'll have 3 Soyuz vehicles and 9 crew members. I think it's only happened one other time. And so it's going to be great to see Karen and Luca and Fyodor on orbit. I was there 6 months ago as their backup crew when they launched, so it's going to be great to see them on orbit even for just a few days. It's going to be exciting.
And tell me a little bit about the Olympic torch. I know that's going to get a lot of attention when it happens. That's kind of an interesting little feature of this flight.
Yeah, it's great to be a small part of the Olympics. As you know, I'll be a member of the Soyuz 11 crew. We'll be flying up on Soyuz 11. We'll hand off the Olympic torch to the Soyuz 10 crew, who will then take it out on a spacewalk. They'll then come back from the spacewalk, hand it to the Soyuz 9 crew, and they will return it to Earth about 5 days after we arrive on the space station. So it's kind of like our own little relay with the torch on orbit.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. Tell me a little bit about what you're looking forward to in a long-duration stay. That's so different from a short, you know, sprint-like shuttle mission. What is it that you personally are looking forward to with your station increment?
Well, you kind of said it, where, you know, the space shuttle missions are 2-week sprints where we know exactly everything that we're going to have to do from day one until landing. And we practice and practice that. And we work very hard and we get very little free time. So what I'm really looking forward to is living on board the space station for a long period of time where I may even have days where I have very little work to do and I could look out the window and just kind of enjoy living in space. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, of course, the other thing is the research. I'm really looking forward to working with the scientists here on Earth and getting involved in some of the great research that's going on.
Is there anything in particular on the research front that you're that you're especially looking forward to, or that's either especially challenging or interesting to you?
Well, you know, we have a wide range of experiments, and it's always changing. So I think the thing I'm most looking forward to is just working with the scientists, something where I'll be on orbit kind of as his lab assistant, if you will, working on the experiment, putting his samples into the testing equipment and things like that, and working with him hand in hand. I'm really looking forward to that, building that relationship with the scientists on the ground.
And what do you guys have coming up in are you going to be there when the new Russian module arrives?
We were originally planned to be there, but from what I understand, the Russian module currently is scheduled for April of next year. So if it arrives then, we will be there. But I heard it may be slipping. I'm not exactly sure what the current plan with that is. But it would be great to see a new module.
Oh, I'm sure it would. Any other highlights of your increment that you'd like to call attention to?
Well, I think you covered most of it. I know the Russians do have a couple other spacewalks planned in order to prepare for that new module. And of course, we'll be getting we'll be catching a couple of commercial vehicles. We have a Cygnus arriving in December. We have a SpaceX arriving, I believe, in February, and then maybe even later on in April, May timeframe, we may see another visiting vehicle. So those are always exciting times to get a visiting vehicle.
Well, Rick, thank you very much for your time. Good luck, and I look forward to your launch and talking to you on orbit.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Take care.
Down at Sandy Hook Elementary last year. The new school is expected to open in December of 2016.
Well, he's an astronaut with a degree from RPI, preparing for another International Space Station. Live this morning from Space City in Russia is astronaut Rick Mastracchia. I'm sorry, Rick, I knew I was going to mess it up. Good morning. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, and in a sense, welcome back to the capital region.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what you did when you were at RPI. When was it, and what degree did you pursue here?
Okay, yeah. After I graduated from the University of Connecticut, I was working in Connecticut and going to school part-time at night at RPI in Hartford, Connecticut. And I got a degree in electrical engineering while I was there,
gotcha.
A master's.
All right, you've been up in space before. You're heading back to the International Space Station. You've been on several space walks. That's some resume. What's the most exciting part of all of that?
Yeah, I've been on three space shuttle missions, and I've had the privilege of doing six spacewalks to actually help assemble the International Space Station. And I have to tell you that doing the spacewalks and actually bolting the space station together is definitely the highlight of my career up to this point. It was a thrill.
Is there any way to compare it to anything on Earth? Is there anything that Julia and I could say, oh, well, it's almost like walking in space?
Well, I guess probably the closest thing I could come up with is maybe if you're scuba diving. And maybe if you're scuba diving, it's in some deep water somewhere and maybe near a large structure. That might be similar to doing a spacewalk on the International Space Station.
Hey, before we let you go, this time you're going to go up on one of those Russian Soyuz ships. It's on November the 6th. What's training like for that? How's it different from going up on a shuttle?
Well, it's quite different. You know, the space shuttle is a very large vehicle. It's multifunctional, has great capabilities. The Soyuz is a very small but yet very reliable vehicle that's been flying since the 60s. I've been training for it for over 2.5 years. Of course, the big difference is I have to speak Russian when I'm on this vehicle. So that was one of the big challenges, was learning how to fly the vehicle and speak Russian.
We wish you well, and we hope to talk with you again. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
All right, live from Russia this morning.
Hi, Rick. It's Bryn from Waterbury.
Hi, Bryn. It's great to hear from you.
How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling great. Very excited. Ready to go.
Yeah, great. I wanted to talk to you a little bit. The last time we talked a little bit about your Twittering, and now
yes.
You're doing this whole geocaching thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to get from you a little bit, you know, why are you doing all of this, and why do you feel it's important as an astronaut to, you know, be interacting with people about what you're doing in these ways?
Okay, yeah, well, a couple of reasons. You know, part of the reasons why I do these outreach programs, if you will, I think it's part of NASA's responsibility to kind of educate the American people what they're getting for their tax dollars, but I think the bigger reason why I do it personally is I'm trying to pay back the state of Connecticut in the Waterbury area. You know, I grew up there. I was educated there, and I'm trying to, you know, kind of help out, motivate the kids and maybe show them what kind of things are possible. So I'm always looking for ways to reach out to the kids and get them excited about NASA, about space travel, about science and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Great. What's it like to know, kind of, you know, that these little kids from your elementary school that you attended way back when are going to be following you so in depth?
Yeah, it's great. I'm excited about it. When I was first approached by Bob Szaszkowski from Waterbury about this geocaching dog tag, I had no idea what this was, and he talked to me about it, and I thought it was a great idea. We got many of the schools, you know, we got dozens of schools involved, and I'm just thrilled about it.
It sounds like it's really blown up as well, with not just the schools, but all these geocaching enthusiasts. Yeah.
Yeah,
so this is another whole new community.
Bob told me. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You know, Bob told me that there's over 1,000 parties worldwide to watch the launch of this travel bug on its journey to the International Space Station. So that's a great...
Good morning, Rick. This is Scott, the producer in Hartford, Connecticut. Can you hear me, sir?
Good morning. I hear you loud and clear.
Good morning again. It is now 6:15. In New York, there's controversy this morning surrounding the search for a missing autistic boy who disappeared from his...
We're hitting about 30 seconds away.
Let's check in right now with Stephanie Jimenez at the live desk with details.
Well, good morning to you both. Yeah, police have actively been searching for Avante Okendo for the last 3 weeks, and this morning we're learning that Police Commissioner Ray Kelly is not optimistic that that boy will be found alive. Now, as you can imagine, that is definitely not what the boy's family wants to hear. They say they're not giving up hope. They're determined to work even harder to find that boy. They're getting help from Al Sharpton, who's now pledged support from his National Action Network. Now, Avante has been missing since October 4th when he went missing from his school in Queens. The search, by the way, has extended past the city's borders. And this is the latest from the live desk. I'll send things back over to you, Brad and Shirley.
All right. Thanks so much, Stephanie. Let's check in with meteorologist Aaron Sweeney. Get your first alert weather forecast on this Friday morning. It is a chilly start out.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a quiet start, but it's a chilly start. Live pictures here in Hartford showing a quiet scene here. Still about, 45 minutes away from the first glimmer of sunrise. But overall, temperature 33 degrees, just above freezing in Hartford. I've got some colder numbers that are out there. I'll show those to you in just a moment. But we've got a chilly air mass in place, and we still got some lake effect going on up to our north. These will not be an issue for us, these rain and snow showers. Fairly energetic, which should start to relax today. But what's helping this flow over the lakes here is a strong storm in eastern Canada through the Maritimes, and that's spinning around. Cold air to the north and high pressure building, and all this combines to form lake effect, but it also combines for a breezy day for us here across the state. Take a look at some of the numbers here, and I say some because some of these reporting sites not making it to the computer today. 28 degrees in Willimantic, 31 in Windsor Locks, 30 right now in Waterbury. It's 28 degrees in Meriden. Notice shoreline communities from New Haven points east, well above freezing here, but shoreline communities tonight, you may see your first frost of the season. A frost advisory is in effect for our shoreline communities, first time this season. All right, 36 degrees, Jonesboro. Going to have some staying power as we go through.
Rick, we're 30 seconds away. You're talking to Brad this morning. Sorry about the delay there.
Yes, there you go. As we head into the weekend, temperatures mid-50s. As we head into Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're talking about sunshine. All right, Shirley and Brad, back over to you.
All right, thank you very much, Darren. Very exciting here this morning. Astronaut Rick Mastracchio has spent more than a month of his life floating weightless in space, and in less than 2 weeks, the Waterbury native and UConn grad is heading back out of this world.
November 7th is the date when he'll embark on a mission to the International Space Station, and this time he's traveling on board a Russian spacecraft. Rick joins us live this morning from Star City, Russia, outside of Moscow, where he's in the final stage of training for the six-month mission. Rick, great to see you, and good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Rick, can you hear me?
Yes,
your
can you hear me?
You're really an international team for this mission. Talk about how this differs from your... Yes, I can. How does this differ from your previous trips to space?
Well, yeah, my previous three missions were on the U.S. space shuttle, of course, with a very large crew of seven folks. This is on a Soyuz spacecraft with a Russian commander, a Japanese astronaut, and myself, so it's quite a bit different.
Now, you're going to connect with students in your hometown of Waterbury during the mission. Tell us what you're going to do with them while you're there up at the ISS.
Well, yeah, it's very important as a part of NASA that we reach out to the school children to try to motivate them and show them what's possible. So there's several things we're doing, including one thing is we're going to bring up a geocache travel bug, which is basically just a small dog tag. And the kids are going to follow it online, and I'll answer questions while I'm on orbit with them. And it just kind of gives them a reason to follow the mission and learn about NASA.
Fantastic. Rick Mastracchio, proud Connecticut native. We are proud of you here in your home state, and we wish you the best of luck for a safe trip to the International Space Station. We take off November 7th. Thanks for being with us. Right now, let's get
Thank
a check.
You.
line. Look, here's your ride this morning on 84. This is just before the Buckley.
Hi, Rick. Level check for Hartford, please.
Away. You're heading into Haven this morning. Here's a look at 95. This is right by exit 51. That's southbound. They're moving away. And if you're traveling.
Rick, level check for Hartford.
Hello, how are you?
Gold Star Bridge, no problems to report.
Good.
How are
you?
Can you hear me?
Stand by. Coming to you in a few moments. We gotcha.
Westbound there heading into the distance. Eric and Irene, back to you.
All right, Alyssa, thank you. Next month, the crew headed to the International Space Station will be carrying the Olympic torch to space for the first time.
Yeah, really cool. Among the crew members is Connecticut-born Rick Mastracchio from Waterbury, speaking to us today from Russia. So nice to see you. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about what are you doing right now to prepare, and what's this going to be like when you're bringing the Olympic torch into space? Pretty special feeling, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Well, right now we've finished our exams over here in Russia, and we're getting ready to head down to Kazakhstan, Baikonur, where we'll launch in about less than 2 weeks. And the Olympic torch, it's been very exciting to be a small part of it.
Tell us a little bit about what it's like going back and forth up to the space station. You've done 40 days up in space in your life. Tell us about that transition as we get up to head to work and school this morning in our lives. What's it like as you head to space and come back?
Yeah, I've flown three times on the space shuttle to the International Space Station. It's a great ride up to orbit. It only takes about 8.5 minutes to go from Earth to low Earth orbit. And then on the space shuttle, usually it takes us about 2 days to catch the space station. But with the Soyuz, we're going to get there in about 6 hours. So from launch to docking with the space shuttle, or space station, I should say, is only going to be 6 hours.
Rick, a lot of kids, I know some of them actually, who have a lot of dreams about being astronauts, a lot of them here in Connecticut. What do you say to kids who want to get into the space program and are really excited about what you do and what all the other astronauts do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that question all the time. How do I become an astronaut? And I always tell kids the best thing is find something you really enjoy, math and science related if possible. Become the best you can at it. Get your college degree, get a master's degree, get a PhD if you want to, and then find a job and get some great experience at that, and then put your application in the hat and see what happens. And it worked for me. It could work for a lot of other folks.
And, Rick, of course, we're talking to you from Russia because we're so dependent now on the Russians to get astronauts like you up into space. Is it an interesting time to be an astronaut right now that you do have to rely on sort of the international community to get there?
I think it's always an interesting time to be an astronaut. It's just a great job. But, yes, right now we're relying on the Russians to fly on their vehicles. But it's great experience for us. You know, I've flown on the space shuttle. Now I'm going to fly on a Russian rocket. To see the differences and to learn and train in their system and their processes is invaluable experience, and I'm looking forward to it.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck on your latest mission. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Held a news conference yesterday to fight back Connecticut's claims.
I think,
sir, can you hear me?
And I'm sure
we can hear you loud and clear.
Look into it.
Fabulous. You'll be talking to Chris and Allie. Chris and Allie.
The senator's
okay, thank you.
Claim is based.
Stand by in about 10 seconds.
Picture.
All right, this is pretty cool. Coming up on 6:25, and in under 2 weeks, a Waterbury native will be among two others who will launch to the International Space Station.
Joining us this morning live to talk about his mission is Rick Mastracchio. He is live from his training base in Star City, Russia. Good morning, Rick. Thanks so much for joining us. Tell us about your upcoming mission.
Good morning. It's great to be here. You're right. In less than 2 weeks, I will launch with my Russian commander and a Japanese astronaut, and we'll launch to the International Space Station in a Soyuz capsule.
You have been on three shuttle missions. What is going to be different about this particular mission in a Soyuz capsule with your international colleagues?
Oh, there's so many differences. You know, the space shuttle, my space shuttle missions were only two-week missions where I was a member of the crew where we actually were assembling the International Space Station. This time in the Soyuz, I'm going to actually live on board the space station for 6 months doing research and scientific investigations.
Wow.
And I understand that you've logged nearly 40 hours in space, including six spacewalks. What is it like? Tell us about it.
Yeah, the spacewalks are incredible. Of course, I had the privilege of being able to help build the International Space Station during these spacewalks. And to be out in a spacesuit translating around the International Space Station with the Earth rotating below is just it's an incredible view, and I'll never forget, of course, that view.
You know, I can't help but ask, have you seen Gravity? Because I think a lot of people think about that movie right now when they think about spacewalks.
Actually, my crewmates and I went to see it just a few weeks ago over here in Moscow.
Is it real?
It was a great movie.
Hey, Rick, being a Waterbury native, are you bringing anything Connecticut into space with you?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. I'm bringing a lot of things from Waterbury and from the Connecticut area. I've got some school banners. We've got a small geocaching bug that the school children in the Waterbury area are going to be tracking and following while it's on the International Space Station. We're going to be working closely with folks in the Waterbury area and the schools there.
Fantastic. Rick Mastracchio, we appreciate you being with us. Welcome home for now. Safe travels, and we will be following along very proudly.
Thank you.
All right, good morning, Rick. This is Lon Seidman with CTNewsJunkie.com. I'm a technology writer for the site. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Lon. I'm doing great.
So we have some questions. Rather than coming from me, we're going to have them come from some Waterbury Elementary School students. So the first one is from Joey Currier. He's a fifth grader at Chase Elementary School in Waterbury. First of all, he thanks you for taking up the travel bug, which is they're very excited about that. We did a story on them last week. But he wants to know, what inspired you to become an astronaut, and what did you learn while in the Waterbury schools that prepared you to be one?
Right. Well, I can remember I went to Chase Grammar School a few years back, and I can remember when I was there, I loved when my teachers were talking about the planets and anything related to science. I also enjoyed math, believe it or not. So I think just my interest in math and my love of science and studying the planets just naturally led for me to become an engineer, and then I was lucky enough to get selected as an astronaut after a lot of hard work.
And Nashka Perez, she's a fifth-grade student in Miss Curran's Washington Elementary School, also in Waterbury. She wanted to know what was the most challenging part of preparing for your six-month expedition.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, training to fly a spacecraft is obviously quite difficult, but it was also very exciting for me to learn how to fly a new vehicle. But the most challenging part was probably the fact that I had to learn how to speak and understand the Russian language. It's a difficult language. And, you know, being an engineer, I'm not real good at languages, but I was able to master it and got through all that.
How long did it take you?
I'm still working on it, but I've been working on it for more than 3 years now.
That's great. Marissa D'Angelo and Gabriella Mendillo, who are both fourth graders at Walsh Elementary School, they were wondering, is there a special type of food that you like to eat in space, and how drinking liquids in space is different than that on Earth? And maybe I'll just add, you know, is there any particular favorites you're bringing with you that you're adding to your
yeah.
list?
Well, to drink water or juices or things like that, probably a lot of the kids are familiar with the kind of the drink packets in the envelopes where you just poke a straw in it and drink the water or the juice out of the plastic bag, if you will. That's what we use in space. It's very similar to things you could buy at the grocery store here. And in terms of space food, the space station has a wide variety of food, and it's all very tasty, actually. But, of course, I can't go anywhere without my peanut butter, so I got to have a peanut butter sandwich when I'm up there. But, unfortunately, we don't have bread, so we use tortillas.
That's a good substitute, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And the last question, I have a couple more questions. We have a little bit of time. This one comes from me. I was just curious your thoughts moving forward. And you've flown on three different space shuttles now. You've pretty much flown on everything. And now, you know, when you get into the Soyuz later next month, what are your thoughts, being a veteran astronaut, on the progress being made by the commercial providers, and are you looking forward to flying on one of them at some point in the future?
Well, yeah, the commercial providers, you know, SpaceX and Orbital, who built just flew the Cygnus successfully. I think it's great. It's great to have the U.S. companies building spacecraft and delivering cargo to the International Space Station. Of course, the next step is to start delivering people to the space station or to low Earth orbit and wherever that may lead. I think it's great. I look forward to, when I get back from this mission, working with the commercial companies or working on NASA's new Orion vehicle in some way.
And have you thought about your next steps? A lot of folks who have your amount of experience after that station mission have been leaving NASA. Are you thinking about the future or just thinking about the next 6 months?
Once in a while I have a thought about the future, but I don't plan on leaving NASA. I plan on sticking around after this mission, and I think it's going to be some exciting times with some of these new vehicles coming online, and I'd like to be part of that.
And the last question is, do you plan to come back to Connecticut at all after you get back to Earth in March?
Oh, yeah. I visit Connecticut at least once a year, so I'll be back there probably in the fall of next year. Hopefully visit some of the schools.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, and good luck on your mission.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Hold on.
Base in Star City, Russia, and very interested program. And Rick Mastracchio, thanks for joining us on the morning briefing today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You are speaking to us from Star City, Russia. You are set to launch to the International Space Station on November the 6th. Your launch will take off from Kazakhstan. Give me a sense about what you intend to take place. What will take place on this mission?
Well, it's a six-month mission to the International Space Station. As like you said, on November 6th, your time, November 7th, my time, we'll be launching with my Russian commander, a Japanese astronaut, and myself. We'll be launching in a Soyuz vehicle to the International Space Station. We'll spend 6 months up there doing research and scientific investigations for the scientists here on the Earth.
Now, is this your first? I know that you're a veteran of three space shuttle flights. Will this be your first time on a Soyuz aircraft, spacecraft?
Yes, that's exactly right. I've been on the space shuttle three times, but it's my first Soyuz flight, and I'm looking forward to it.
So give me your sense about the differences that you've encountered so far between training for a NASA mission that takes place, you know, at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, and what you've been going through in your training in Star City, Russia.
Okay, that's a great question. You know, as training for a space shuttle mission, everything's in the United States. We trained in Houston, and we spent some time in Florida for launch and things in that area. But, of course, training for an International Space Station mission and launching on a Soyuz, I've spent more than a year in Russia over the past 2.5 years. I've spent time in Canada, Japan, and many weeks in Germany training for all the different international components of the International Space Station. That's been the primary difference, is so much time away from home and such a much longer training schedule.
With the end of the space shuttle program, Rick, are the opportunities fewer for American astronauts to get into space?
There are fewer seats for American astronauts going into orbit. That's correct. But there are many opportunities. For example, learning to operate and fly a Russian vehicle for myself is a great opportunity and was a great challenge, and I really enjoyed it.
I've spoken to many former astronauts over the years, and I was fortunate enough to be there for the final space shuttle flight. And so many astronauts indicated to me about their disappointment with the end of the space shuttle program. Do you share that point of view?
Well, it's always disappointing to see a great vehicle like the space shuttle program come to an end and no longer fly. It's very disappointing. But the space shuttle served its purpose. We built the International Space Station with the space shuttle. We've completed what we wanted to get out of the space shuttle, and it was time to move on. And, of course, now we're building a new vehicle called the Orion. Hopefully that will go beyond low Earth orbit to the moon or Mars or other places like that. So it was time to move on to a new vehicle. Unfortunately, it's taken us a little while to get there, but we'll get there eventually.
And given that you're essentially hitching a ride aboard a Russian spacecraft, the Soyuz, give me a sense about the involvement of NASA in this particular mission.
Well, obviously, NASA is a major participant in the International Space Station, which is our ultimate destination. The Soyuz vehicle itself, I'm not just hitching a ride, I'm also one of the primary operators on the vehicle. I am, so to speak, like the co-pilot of the vehicle with my Russian commander. So NASA is heavily involved in our Soyuz launch, but even more involved in the International Space Station and the conducting of all the research and science investigations that we perform on orbit.
I know you've been so busy in your training, Rick, preparing for this mission. One of the big blockbusters that's getting a lot of people to the theaters here in America is the film Gravity. Have you had a chance to see it? Do you intend to see it if you haven't had a chance
to see it? Yes. My crew members and I went to Moscow a couple of weeks ago, and we were able to watch it. It was a good movie.
And is it realistic in any sense, or do you find some flaws in the way they've done things?
They didn't always obey the laws of physics, but it was very entertaining for all the folks.
Rick Mastracchio, you are a veteran of three space shuttle flights. You are ready to go to the International Space Station. You must be incredibly excited. I can't imagine, you know, just one time in space would be excitement enough for me. I'm sure that you and everyone else involved in this program is excited. Best of luck to you. We'll be following it as you take off on November the 6th.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Rick excited. Best of luck to you. We'll be following.
Thank you, everyone. Good luck.
Talk to the guy.
Hi, Rick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, you're good. 15.
Did he hear us?
He did.
Yes, I heard you. How can you hear me?
Here's something exciting for you. Final preparations continue today for the Soyuz space launch to the International Space Station, and one of those going up is a Waterbury native.
Yeah, NASA astronaut Rick Mastracchio is joining us live from Gagarin Cosmonaut Training Center in Star City, Russia. Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us all the way from Russia.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Yes.
Rick, the launch date is just a couple of weeks away now. Tell us what's happening right there at the training facility. What are you doing? How are you preparing?
Well, we just finished our exams about 1 week ago in front of the Russian Space Commission. They certified us ready for launch. So we've been relaxing for a few days. Tomorrow, we fly from Moscow down to the down to Baikonur in Kazakhstan, where we'll launch in less than 2 weeks.
What kind of training is involved, Rick?
Well, I've been training for this mission for 2.5 years, spending about half that time in Russia, also been spending time in Germany, Japan, Canada, because of the international nature of the International Space Station, we have to spend a lot of time traveling and training in the various countries.
Rick, you did your undergrad at UConn, and you also went to RPI for your postgraduate degrees. At what point did you say to yourself, I'm going to go to space. I want to be an astronaut?
That's a great question. People don't believe it, but actually after I graduated from UConn, I actually saw an advertisement in a magazine. So I answered that advertisement and sent in my application to NASA. Now, I didn't get selected right away. It took 9 years of applying to NASA, but I finally got selected as an astronaut. But it was really just from seeing that advertisement in a magazine.
My goodness. You've had 3 previous space shuttle flights. You spent about 40 days total in space. What's it like?
Well, of course, the space shuttle mission is fantastic. It was a great vehicle. I really enjoyed flying on it. In living and working in space was great. I was able to perform actually multiple spacewalks and actually help build the International Space Station. And those are memories that I will never forget.
You were just mentioning your spacewalks. You have done 6. I have to imagine that it's almost undescribable, that experience. But can you try to just tell us what it's like?
Yeah, I could try. It's imagine, if you will, you're going outside into an environment where it's minus 300 in the shade. It's plus 300 in the sun. You're translating around multi-billion dollar hardware while you're trying to work in the very, very thick gloves. So it's actually very, very difficult. But the view below, as the Earth rotates below you, is just incredible view to see, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
That's amazing. We've got time for one more question. You'll be up there with an astronaut from Japan and one from Russia. How has that been going?
That's been going great. We've been training together for probably about 2 years, 2.5 years now. And, you know, as astronauts, we don't look at each other as folks from different countries. I have a crewmate who happens to be from Japan, and I have another crewmate who happens to be from Russia, but we're working together just great as a crew.
Well, we wish you all the best of luck.
Yeah.
Rick Mastracchio, hopefully we'll talk to you when you come back. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I'm Andy Paneros. Today, my guest on Cosmic Perspective from the Cosmodrome in Russia is a Waterbury native, veteran of three space shuttle missions, and soon to launch on the Soyuz spacecraft to the International Space Station. Rick Mastracchio, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thanks. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, you have a lot of fans here in Connecticut ready for your launch and very excited.
Yeah, well, it's a great place, and I'm happy to hear that.
This is your first mission on the Soyuz, first Soyuz mission. How different would you expect this mission to be from other shuttle missions?
Well, yeah, like you said, I've flown on the space shuttle a few times. I expect this to be quite different. You know, the space shuttle is a much bigger vehicle. It takes about 2 days for us to get to the space station just because of the trajectory that we use. On the Soyuz, it's a much smaller but very reliable vehicle. And with this new trajectory that we just started about a year ago, it's only going to take us about 6 hours from launch until docking. So it's all going to happen very, very quickly. And before I know it, I'm going to be floating on the International Space Station.
Yes, and I understand that the seating arrangements on the Soyuz are a little different than they are in the shuttle.
Yeah, it's a much smaller vehicle. We're tucked in there pretty tightly.
Can you explain your checklist as you're going to be on the launch pad, and you have some responsibilities that you didn't have on the shuttle? Can you explain a checklist and some of your responsibilities for pre-launch and launch to us?
Sure. Yeah, I was a flight engineer on the space shuttle, but what that is, it's kind of like the third pilot, if you will, the person third in charge of the controls and watching what's going on of the commander and pilot. I'm also a flight engineer on board the Soyuz, but it's more like a co-pilot position, so I'll actually be helping to control the vehicle. I'll be entering data into the computer for our trajectory. I'll be opening and closing valves to control the life support system. So I'll be doing a lot of the things that maybe the commander and pilot on the space shuttle mission would have done. So I'll have direct input into the controls of the vehicle.
And once you get to the space station, what experiments will you be performing, and what responsibilities will you have?
Well, there's a wide range of experiments that we'll be performing on the space station. There's about 200, I'm told there's about 200 different experiments that we will be involved in over the 6 months, and it involves more than 400 scientists here on the ground. Those experiments vary from searching for new vaccines and testing and developing new vaccines to seeing how things burn in space, all the way to we're bringing up a small colony of ants to see how they interact in a zero-G environment. So the wide range of experiments we'll be involved in.
As we've said, you've been on three space shuttle missions, performed six EVAs, logged more than 25 million miles in space. What drives you to continue to go into space?
Well, I enjoy going to space. I enjoy working in space. It's a very rare opportunity. I've been fortunate enough to do it three times. Hopefully, I'll have a fourth one under my belt here in a few weeks. And it's really, I don't need any more motivation than that, just the fact that I've been there and I enjoy it so much.
You've also done a lot of public outreach in Connecticut. When you're done with the mission, do you feel that, will you be visiting Connecticut and coming back to visit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I visit Connecticut almost every year, sometimes twice a year. I'll be back, plan on coming back to Connecticut once my mission's over and all my debriefs and all my responsibilities with NASA are done. I'll come visit Connecticut for a few days.
Rick, thanks very much for the interview. Our listeners in the greater Bridgeport area and all of us at WPKN wish you a great trip and a soft landing when you return.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
651. You're listening to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. All right, so one small step for man doesn't apply to our next guest, NASA astronaut Rick Mastracchio. Now, he's logged nearly 40 days in space already. On November 6th, he'll carry the Olympic torch to the International Space Station. He joins us now from Russia, where he's making final preparations. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we can hear the delay already from here to there. So tell us about your mission on November 6th and why the Olympic torch is going up with you.
Okay, yeah, exactly. On November 6th, your time, November 7th, my time, I'll be launching on board a Russian Soyuz rocket out of Kazakhstan with my Russian commander and a Japanese astronaut. And that's part of Soyuz, the crew Soyuz of Soyuz 11. We'll be taking up the Olympic torch. Once we get to the International Space Station, we're going to hand that torch off to the crew of Soyuz number 10. They're going to take that torch out on a spacewalk. Once they come in from the spacewalk, they'll hand that torch over to the crew of Soyuz 9, who will land on Earth about 5 days after we arrive. So we have our own little Olympic relay going on in space.
So is this just so you can put the International Space Station on the map of where the Olympic torch goes?
No, well, the Olympics next year are going to be in Sochi, Russia. So this was the idea of the Russians to kind of tie in the International Space Station with the International Olympics. So I think it's a great fit, and it's fun to be a small part of it.
And tell us what you're going to be doing after you bring the torch to the ISS. What will you be doing up there, and how long will you be there?
Okay, I'll be spending 6 months on board the International Space Station, and what we go up there for is we go up there to perform research and scientific investigations and work with the scientists here on the ground to develop anything from new vaccines and to understand how things burn in space better, to develop new technologies that help the folks here on the planet Earth.
Are there any specific missions this time around in terms of that research?
And specific experiments, so we have a wide range. There'll be approximately 200 experiments going on while I'm up there over those 6 months. And like I said, some of them will be developing new vaccines. We even have one where we're going to bring up a small colony of ants just to see how the ants behave in zero G. So it's very, very wide range of experiments that will be going on.
We know that you're in Star City, Russia, making final preparations. I have to ask, are the ants doing that too?
I can't speak for the ants. I'm sure they're being prepared, though.
And what are you doing? What are you doing for the final days before the November 6th launch?
About a week ago, we finished our final exams here before the Russian Space Commission. They certified us go for launch. Tomorrow, we fly from Moscow down to the Baikonur Cosmodrome, and we'll be doing a fit check in the vehicle next week just to kind of see what it's like to sit in our spacesuits in the actual vehicle. And then in less than 2 weeks, we'll be launching into orbit to this International Space Station.
And I have to ask, you are a flight engineer, so what are you going to be doing during the launch and the flight to the ISS?
Right. The flight engineer is kind of another word, kind of like the co-pilot. The commander is in the center seat. I'm in the left seat of the Soyuz vehicle, and we have a Japanese astronaut in the right seat. So I'm kind of like the co-pilot. I'll be helping to control the vehicle. I'll be typing inputs into the computer. I'll be opening and closing the valves to maintain the life support system. So I have a major part in the control of the vehicle. So it should be very interesting.
All right, Rick Mastracchio, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And Rick Mastracchio is a NASA astronaut.
Hey, Rick, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, great. So this is going to be a taped interview. I'm going to ask you a quick few questions. We are just making sure that we are rolling on our end. So just bear with us 1 minute, okay?
No problem.
Hey, can you do me a favor and do an audio check for me, Rick? Give me your name. Tell me about the mission.
Okay. This is Rick Mastracchio discussing the Soyuz mission, upcoming Soyuz launch. How do you hear me?
Are they good? Okay, we're all set. So, like I said, this is taped. It's going to be sent out to our Fox affiliates over the next couple of days. So if you need to start over, feel free to start your answer over. and just don't use my name in the answers because, obviously, we're going to be sending this out. We don't want them to hear my name in the background. So, first of all, the mission is tomorrow, correct?
Repeat the question, please.
Hey, the mission is tomorrow, correct?
No, the mission we launch on November 6th, your time.
Okay, so what are you doing to prepare for the mission?
So right now we're in Star City, Russia. We about a week ago we finished our exams, and the Russian Space Commission has certified us go for launch. Right now we just have a few days of rest. Tomorrow we fly from Moscow to the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan, where we will do some final preparations for launch on November 6th, your time.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about the mission and what's the reason specifically for the trip to the ISS?
Sure. On the Soyuz launch will consist of my Russian commander, a Japanese astronaut, and myself. We'll be launching out of Kazakhstan up to the International Space Station, where we will spend 6 months living and working on board the space station. And primarily what we'll be doing up there is performing experiments and being involved in scientific research and working with the scientists here on the ground to in a wide range of experiments.
And can you tell us, you know, 6 months is a pretty long time. Can you tell us what are some of the best and maybe some of the worst parts about being up there for 6 months?
Well, the best part of being in orbit for any length of time, of course, is the fact that you're in a weightless environment and you got a great view of the Earth down below. You know, of course, the worst parts of it are you're away from your family for 6 months. But it's, you know, it's a trade-off, and it's, I think it's well worth it.
All right. And NASA, you know, basically dismantled their program. How has it been working? How has it been working with the international astronauts?
Well, NASA really hasn't dismantled its program. NASA has many programs going on right now. We finished the space shuttle program, but the International Space Station program, which is NASA is a huge member of, along with Russia, Japan, the European Space Agency, and Canada, NASA is heavily involved in the space station program. We continue to have NASA astronauts on board the International Space Station living and working. The only difference is we're not using the space shuttle to go back and forth between the space station. Now we're using the Russian Soyuz rocket to go back and forth between the International Space Station. But in a few years, NASA's working on a new vehicle. We'll have another new vehicle to that NASA will be operating.
Rick, thank you so much. Good luck, and hopefully we'll get to catch up with you when you get back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk. I'm curious for the Daily Dot about your Twitter contest, actually, that you've had going leading up to your launch. I'm curious what it's been like interacting with fans through the contest and what kind of their reaction has been like to learning about your training.
Well, I think Twitter is a great way for the NASA astronauts to kind of give folks a behind-the-scenes look of what our training is like. There's so many interesting things that we do on a daily basis in our training. So I really enjoyed sharing photographs with the Twitter followers and things like that. So when I started doing that, I was trying to think of ways, how could I get folks more involved in the mission, not just me giving them information, but having them some kind of be more involved in it. So that's when we came up with the Twitter contest. where I ask the trivia question and the first one to answer it, I fly their picture into space. So I think the response has been great. It's been a lot of fun for me, and I think the folks who are having their picture flown